And I feel a very strong conviction in my heart that God wants to impart peace today into a number of lives. He wants to impart purpose. Maybe you're walking around aimlessly. And God's going to do that today through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we give you all a warm welcome. Praise God. Looking around, it's nice to have Grantley and Shirley back from Barbados. And it's nice to have Robert back from Ghana. And we welcome you all today in the Lord's name. I want to bring you this morning a message of hope, a message of life, a message of encouragement. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And so Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Receive the Holy Spirit. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is as relevant today in the 21st century as it was to those early disciples there 2,000 years ago. It is important that we grasp the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ because it is pivotal to our Christian faith. Everything in our faith stands or falls according to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Paul said, if Christ is not raised, your faith is futile. But I'm glad he's alive, amen? He's alive, church. We've been singing all morning songs on resurrection, amen? Jesus is alive. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ, those who have died, they have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But we are not miserable. Amen. We are more than conquerors. Thank God we have a living hope because Christ has become the first fruits to those who sleep. Amen. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I know that he can come this morning and minister to my need. Whatever situation I may find myself in this life, Jesus can come and minister to me. Because he is alive, church. I have a high priest who is touched with the feelings of my infirmities, my weakness. This morning, this Easter Sunday, 2013, I want us to look at three situations that the disciples faced after the death of Christ. I want you to see this morning how Jesus appeared to them in their need. And when Jesus appeared to them, he ministered to them. even in their own belief and fear, Jesus came. First of all, we see a disciple in a state of fear. Are the disciples in a state of fear locked behind closed doors? And then we see a disciple in a state of doubt, because there was one disciple who was not there. He wasn't present. Thomas. He wasn't with them. The disciple said to him, "We have seen the Lord." Can you imagine the excitement in their hearts as they talked to Thomas? "Thomas, we have seen the Lord." The excitement that Jesus had come back. And Thomas, he said, "Unless I see in his hands the print of his nails and put my finger into his side, I will not believe." And then we see a disciple in a state of guilt. Peter, in chapter 21, we read that Jesus appeared the third time, and this time they were fishing. And Peter was specifically asked, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" These disciples had shared their lives with Christ for 3 years. He had brought hope, life. They believed him to be the Messiah, the one who would deliver them from the Romans. And now he was crucified. Their hearts were weary. They were despondent. The cross had completely wiped away all their hopes. And here we find in chapter 20 of John's Gospel, they were locked behind closed doors. In a state of fear. I want you to notice, friends, three things as Jesus appears to the 11 disciples. The doors were locked. The disciples were frightened. And Jesus comes and stands in their midst. Why were the doors locked? Well, in verse 19, we read, they were locked for fear of the Jews. Fear born out of circumstances. They were afraid that they would come to the same end as Jesus came to. And maybe today, this Easter Sunday, as we have gathered here at All Nations as a community of believers, maybe there is fear too in your heart. Fear for tomorrow. Fear of unemployment. Maybe it's not going so well in work. Fear of the uncertainty of life. Maybe there is sickness and there are health problems and there's fear. Maybe it's fear for your family and your members who don't know the Lord, and somehow they are walking away from the cross. Maybe it's fear as you face death. You see, fear can take hold of our lives, and it can grip us, and it can paralyze us. As someone said, fear does not rob tomorrow of its anxieties, only today of its strength. We see that the doors were locked and the disciples, they were afraid. But the third thing we see is that Jesus came. Jesus came and he stood in their midst. John Piper remarks that Jesus did not knock. He did not even have to open the door. He simply was there. In spite of closed doors, regardless of their fear and their unbelief, Jesus was there in their midst. And Jesus is here today in our midst. Amen. Despite our fear, despite our doubt, Jesus is still here in our midst. Which means that today in your life, Jesus can go where no one else can go. He can go where no doctor can go. He can go where no lover can go. He can reach you and reach into your life anywhere and at any time because he is risen. God can open doors that no man can shut. And his resurrection from the dead fits him to do what no one else can do. There is no one like Jesus. He is God. He is Creator. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the Savior of the world. He is our Redeemer. He's coming back. Hallelujah. He is God and he's our Lord. Today, this day, I want you to experience his presence. I want you to experience his peace and his power. Today, some of you who may not know the Lord, you will experience his forgiveness. You will experience your life being transformed because Jesus is alive and you've opened up your door and your life to him. He will come in and transform. Today, this day, I want you to experience the living Christ. I want you to experience the power of his resurrection. Amen. Jesus comes right into your midst, and his presence, it calms the storm. His presence dispels all fear. I want you to note four things that Jesus brought these disciples in the upper room. In verse 19, we see, first of all, that he brought them peace. He said to them, "Peace be with you." I don't want just to preach today. I want to impart by the power of the Holy Spirit his peace. Whatever you're facing in life, amen, his peace, peace. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you." Not as the world gives to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because we trust in you. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, will keep, will protect your mind and your heart in Christ Jesus. And he says, "Peace, shalom, wholeness be with you." Don't fret. Don't be striving with unrest inside, torn. Peace, peace, peace. Peace. We can know the peace of God only because we are at peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And we can know His peace because no longer is there hostility in our relationship. No longer do I need to fear Him, because Jesus came and He died that I might embrace His peace. As Paul said, for He Himself is our peace. Peace is personified in the person of Jesus. He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. We were separated from a holy God because of the sin, the rebellion, the uncleanness, the unrighteousness. There was this enmity. But Jesus came and took the sin and took the unrighteousness and took all my filthy rags. Amen. And there's no longer separation because this wall has been broken down. He is our peace. And because He is our peace, we can know the peace of God. Hallelujah. Because of what He accomplished in His death and in His resurrection. And this morning He comes to you as the risen, as the living Savior of the world, and He says to you, take my peace. I hope today, for some of you, this will be a red letter day, in that today you accept who Jesus is and you accept the offer of His peace and forgiveness and life. Amen. Amen. Then, the second thing that we see here, He brings joy. And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His sides. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Oh, what an experience. He showed them His hands and His sides. And we read, then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. You know, friends, in His presence there is what? Fullness of joy. Yes, weeping may endure for a night, but what comes in the morning? Come on, what comes in the morning? Amen. Joy. Joy. And no matter what you go through in your journey in life, even a valley, it's tough, it's rough, there's uncertainty, you don't know what's happening, it's only a season. Joy comes. Amen. Joy comes in the morning. You see, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy, it's not dependent on my circumstances. It's not dependent on my emotions, whether I'm on a high or a low. No, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when I live my life being led by the Spirit of God, then there will be joy in knowing the presence of God. Amen. Let there be a revelation this morning of God to you. May you see God today. Amen. May you see God. Then the third thing that He gives to them, in verse 21, He said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And the third thing that He gives to them is direction. Not only does He give the gift of joy and peace, He gives to them the gift of purpose, of direction. The opposite of purpose is aimlessness. And how many in this world today, in our secular world, who want to destroy Christianity, who want to destroy all that we uphold to. They are like sheep gone astray, aimlessly trying to fill the vacuum in their lives with secularism, with humanism, with materialism. But oh no, friends, this vacuum in life can only be filled with the purpose of God. The purpose of God. Jesus, who directed the disciples in the upper room, is the same Jesus today in 2013 who directs our life into His purpose, into His mission. So don't give up. Don't become weary. Don't become despondent in fear and unbelief. Don't think that God has given up on you. He hasn't. He will direct your steps. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Amen. And the steps of a good man are what? Ordered. Ordered by the Lord. And so He directs my steps. Wherever I go, He goes. He says that goodness and mercy, it follows me. Do you see? Amen. It's following me. As I'm led by the Spirit of God, goodness and mercy will follow me. Do you see it following me? Amen. Wherever I go, praise God. No matter where I go, in a rough place, it doesn't really matter. Goodness and mercy, I look back, it's following me. Amen. He's got my hand. He said He won't let go. You see, He directs my steps. We don't live this life aimlessly, wandering, toing and froing. No, we know that God directs our steps. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And you think, oh, what am I doing in this life? Where am I going? What is life all about? Why do I suffer? Why do I feel pain? Why do I have times of affliction? Why am I dying? No. Focus your attention upon the Lord your God, because God would say to you this morning, as I have sent you, He said, so I send you. I send you. You're not running around aimlessly. You've got direction. You've got purpose. Amen. He wants His people to know the power of His resurrection. A people who will express the kingdom of God. A people on mission, fulfilling His will. A people guided and led by the Spirit of God. Not a community who profess the name of God, who sing nice songs behind stained glass windows and closed doors, afraid to connect with the world, afraid that the world shouting at us with all their beliefs, with all their philosophies. No, we will not stand behind stained glass windows, paralyzed in fear. We will go out into the world with the gospel of Jesus, because we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Jesus is alive. Isn't that amazing? The world trying to intimidate us by shouting all their beliefs, whether it's redefining marriage or whatever they may want to come up with all our politicians. We stand firm on what God says, amen, in His Word, in His Word. And we will not allow the world to squeeze us into its mold, into its way of thinking. We will stand up and we will allow God to direct our steps. Amen. And so He gives direction. Then the fourth thing He gives, I believe, is restoration. In verse 22, He said, and when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That's interesting. I believe that all of us in this room today need to experience, if we haven't already experienced, the power of the living God in bringing us into a living relationship with a living God. Jesus came in His resurrection. He gives them peace. He gives them joy. He gives them direction. And He breathes on them. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. To these men, they received the gift not only of his peace, but the gift of his power, a restored relationship with God, a new relationship with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let me lay aside any confusion. I believe it was at this moment, after the resurrection, that the disciples received the new birth of being born again of the Spirit. Well, when did they receive the Spirit? Because we see here in John 20, they received the Spirit, and yet they were told to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. And we read 40 days after the resurrection, they received the Holy Spirit. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And they were told to wait. So is there a contradiction? Did they receive the Spirit or didn't they? What's the explanation? It's simple. I believe here after his resurrection, the disciples entered into a new relationship, a new covenant with the living God as being born of the Spirit. And yes, they received the Spirit in the sense when Jesus said, and you shall receive power. As to many as believed in him, to them they received power to become the sons of God. But they had to wait until they received the power to do, the ability to be that witness, to receive the Spirit of God in its fullness there on the day of Pentecost. And you know, church, we need both. We need to be born of the Spirit, and we need to be baptized and filled with the Spirit. Do I hear amen there? You need both. You need a relationship with God in being born again, in knowing sins forgiven. And you need to know the fullness of the Spirit in being baptized and filled with the Spirit as on the day of Pentecost. And so there is no contradiction. This experience here in John 20 is their experience of being born again of the Spirit. Jesus did not come into the world to die, to rise again, to ruin your life. Jesus came to save your life. And Jesus saves your life today by giving you peace, by giving you purpose, and by giving you power. Amen. Then, as we go on in John 20, we see a disciple in a state of doubt. In verse 24 and 25, it was Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. He wasn't in the upper room when Jesus came. The disciple said to him with great excitement, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas, he said, "Well, unless I see for myself, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. And Thomas, this time, was with them. And we read that Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. And he said, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas, he said to him, "My Lord, my God." Oh, I love that phrase. Did you note what Thomas said? He said, "My Lord, my Theo." See, Jesus is God. Don't let the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witness convince you otherwise that Jesus is just a prophet. He's just a good moral teacher. He's just some good angel. No, no, no. He is more. He is God. As Thomas said, my Lord, my God. Imagine the joy of Thomas seeing Jesus. Don't we too doubt God when we don't see God working in our lives? When we don't see things turning out the way that we want or expected? Doubt, like fear, my friend, is only destroyed by the presence of Jesus. And I want you to note this morning, as we look at the story of resurrection, our weakness does not intimidate our God. He meets us at the point of our need. And I want you today to allow the presence of God as we come, as we apply the word to our heart, to dispel all the doubt and fear in your life, because God would say to you, though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then when we go into chapter 21, we see a disciple in a state of guilt. His name is Peter. You see, they've been out fishing, and Jesus came again, and he said, cast your net to the side. And they brought in a real haul of fish, and the disciples said, it's the Lord. And Peter, he girded himself, put some more clothes on himself. I love this story, because can you remember, it was Peter who said, look, Lord, no matter if they all forsake you, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you, even on death. I'm even going to die for you, Lord. Lord, we see the tenacity, we see the boldness, the courage of Peter. We see his personality, because Peter was always the one who opened his mouth and put his feet in it. You know anybody like that? They open their mouth and they put their feet in it. Huh? Well, that was Peter. Peter, Lord, I'm going to be with you. See all these guys around you? If they forsake you, I won't. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, Peter, when the rooster crows three times, you will have denied me. Third time. We don't have time this morning to get into the story. Can you imagine the guilt Peter felt when Jesus looked to him, when Peter denied him the third time? Can you imagine the guilt? Jesus looked into his eyes. And here, as they were fishing, Jesus appears. Imagine the mixed emotions Peter had when he remembered how he failed Jesus. But I want you to see in this story that over and over again, the Lord makes a point of ministering to Peter. He doesn't come in anger. Why did you let me down? That time when I was forsaken, alone, why weren't you with me? Why did you curse? Why did you deny me? No, Jesus comes in mercy. Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? It is not a question for information, because the Lord already knew the answer. It was a question to create an opportunity for Peter to affirm his love. I believe that Jesus was doing some ministering to Peter, healing his inner emotions. Because after all, Peter must have felt well guilty. Because three times Peter denied the Lord, and three times Jesus asked, do you love me? You see, friends, our Christian faith does not run away from guilt. It faces it knowing that God is just and God is forgiving. Amen. And so, on this Easter Sunday, do not feel condemned. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Do you love me? Do you love me. Let me ask you, do you know him? This Easter day, I pray that you will allow God to create faith in your heart, whereby you may accept the gift of peace, the gift of power, the gift of purpose. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is alive. And today, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we bless you, Lord. We bless you. Let's remain in the attitude of prayer, because I'm going to just in faith believe today that some of you will receive that gift of peace where there is fear. For some of you today, you will come to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today, you will come to know the joy of His salvation. And as we're in an attitude of prayer, I'm going to ask Steve just to come back and lead us in worship. Let's stand, please. Let's just sense the presence of God being here today. If you want prayer today, whether it's because you've been intimidated with fear, the enemy, your situation has just taken away your peace, will you come out to the front and we will pray for you? We will impart peace through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Maybe your need is for the power of the Spirit because of weakness. Maybe you need God today in receiving the gift of His salvation. Yes, you come to church, you enjoy church, but you don't have the living relationship with God. Like the disciples, you need to be born again. God wants to breathe upon you today the Holy Spirit, so that your relationship with Him will be a living relationship. And so I'm acting in faith today that God will indeed impart to you His gifts. So whatever your need is, maybe it's for healing, I don't know. Maybe it's a restored relationship. Just as Steve leads us in worship, just come to the front and we will pray for you. The team will come out and pray for you. Just come, whatever your need is. Amen.